Politics? You want me to look at a politics thing? Jesus Christ. Is that my job? What a shame. Oh, look at that. How apropos, how Democrats are feeling about their party. Normally, whenever the New York Times does a cutout of a voter group and asks them what their feelings are, the results are psychotic. You know, how many times, especially in the lead up to 2024, did we see the New York Times be like, we interviewed 20 Democrats and here's what they had to say. And they were all like actually insane people. Well, we finally got something that confirms my priors, which means that I'm happy. Dem focus group of the New York Times. Do you prefer a candidate who identifies as progressive or a candidate who identifies as moderate? A progressive candidate, everyone. A moderate candidate, no one raised a hand. That's pretty nice. I like that. Where's the art? Can somebody pitch me the article? Can somebody give me the article? I can't get around it without getting rid of the images. I want the images. If you could give me an article, thank you. Give me free money, please. Give me the article. Give me the give the big streamer the article. Yum yum. Work for me. Give me money. Thank you. Yum yum. No, I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait here for 40 minutes. I don't give a fuck. Oh, Eddie got it. Or did he? The link isn't loading. Sorry, Eddie. It won't load. We do have a gifted link here, though. What word would you use to describe the Democratic Party? Paralyzed, sold out, afraid. 13 Democratic voters on Trump ICE and their frustrations with the Democratic Party. I love this. This is why, and it's, it. You know, Masaigu keeps saying this, and loath as I am to give credit to that weeaboo, there is a real point here. The shit lib types online who are trying to shove Gavin Newsom down your throat, I really don't think they're representative of the Democratic electorate. Like, we're getting poll after poll after poll indicate, like, the Democratic Party, the voter base, is really unhappy with the party, you know? Really unhappy. So, the idea that the Dems need to pitch us better candidates is not just some fringe lefty complaint. It is the majority position of the I don't want to like invoke drama or whatever. I saw like a lefty streamer or some lib shit, whatever, like unironically arguing that they would support, I don't know, Jeffrey Epstein as a Dem candidate over Hassan because Jeffrey Epstein might have better positions on Israel or something. I might be like misremembering that, but that was, I was like hallucinating the clip. I saw it first thing when I woke up. I opened my phone, I saw that, and I was like, what the fuck? And I rolled out of bed. I don't know. Yeah, that might have been like a bit. It's true, it was Hutch. Okay, it might have been a bit. I don't know. Didn't Hutch used to play games? That's why you have to run? Oh, yeah, my positions on Israel are going to be really, favorable to the libshit demographic. Yeah, they'll love what I've got to say on it. Participants in our group weren't unclear about what the party stands for, the greater good and the protection of civil rights, but many also expressed dissatisfaction with the lack of resolve this past year during shutdown fights as well as more broadly, even recognizing that there isn't much Democrats can do out of power. True to an extent. People wanted more action and more aggression, especially if and when Democrats take power again. The big thing that Democrats lack isn't even like consistent policy advocacy. It's a narrative, a strong narrative that they can all plant their feet in the ground on and reaffirm and just like constantly, time and time and time again, they go, like, the Republicans are so good at this. And that's because their info comes from the top down. The thing is, the Democrats should still have a really easy narrative because the Republicans are literally the most evil people alive. They're the most evil, stupid, incompetent, pedophilic, philandering fucking grifters in the universe. It should be like an incredibly easy dunk, you know? But still, we flub. We flub. In particular, they wanted candidates who were young, progressive, and from a more modest or working class background with clear and simple messages. As for the Democrats who are standing out to these people, Jasmine Crockett, Pete Buttigieg, Saran Mamdani, Gavin Newsom, what a wide cut, huh? What a scattershot there. Many of them are the ones who have made a point of appearing in combative media environments. This is, I'm not going to argue with New York Times here, as much as they deserve it. This is very, very true, though. Regardless of their actual positions all of these people are known for being vocal and aggressive. Pete Buttigieg literally did like a Jubilee appearance and argued with 20 retards. Jasmine Crockett's whole thing is being like boorish and rude. Zoran Mamdani, obviously extremely outspoken, though not really in a negative context. And Gavin Newsom has the reputation of being aggressive despite folding immediately when actually arguing with a Republican. So it's, again, it's the impression. It's the impression people get, you know? Invoking a famous Michelle Obama quote, after the past few years, these voters no longer want a party that goes high. I really do hate that framing, by the way, because I truly don't think that when a fascist political party goes low in the form of like attacking civil rights, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever, I don't think you're going low by being aggressive against that. I think you're doing your job. Like, I think that you maintain the moral high ground simply by being better than them, not by engaging in aggressive tactics. That's not like what the Republican Party isn't bad because they're aggressive. They're bad because they're bad. This guy's fucking staring at me, dude. Terrell, 68, independent Black Democrat, retired. Look at, oh my God. He's got like the Mike Ehrmantraut. Like, that is what you're going to do. You're going to go to the polling booth. You're going to vote for Zoran Mamdani. You're not going to vote for Andrew Cuomo. Tell me, what are you going to do? I'm going to vote for Mamdani. You're going to vote for Zoran Mamdani. Is that Mr. Beast next to him? I see it. I see it a little bit. DSP. Did you see DSP did a live stream with the Virtual Boy where he was just describing what he was seeing? That was fucking funny. I don't know if it was Virtual Boy or just like a headset. That shit was funny as fuck. Fill in the blank for me. I'm feeling blank about the way things are going in the country these days. Confused about the direction the country's going. Frustrating, upset, and concerned, discouraged, strongly. So yeah, nobody's happy. Does anyone have a positive word? No, I don't. No, absolutely not. Working class background means rude, boorish, and kind of slovenly? What the fuck are you talking about? Did you read something here that I didn't? You said you're frustrated. Tell me why. Immigrants. 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 Damn, people really like / love immigrants. Why do YouTube channels like Midas and Adam Mockler always cover Newsom so favorably? I don't think Midas is bought out by the DNC establishment. However, there is a lot of money and inertia flowing around him as the Democratic frontrunner in 2028. And I think a lot of people are caught up in that. And a lot of people are really taken by like his press account on Twitter, you know? You said discouraged. What are you discouraged about? One, a lot of the economic policies that have been put in place, looking at the job market, looking at the numbers that came out today, worst numbers in years. It feels economically there's no light at the end of the tunnel. That is true. The immigration policies are also a disaster and they're inhumane. Socially, some people have just embraced being blatantly racist, whether it's towards immigrants, whether it's towards African-Americans. It's been normalized. Not to say it ever fully went away, but we've just regressed. Yep. Mm-hmm. These cartoon faces are also ugly. Really? I kind of like them, actually. I don't know. They feel dignified. Kind of like a wood carving. You know what I mean? I kind of like him. Are America's best days behind us, ahead of us, or happening now? Behind us. You know how pessimistic Democrats have to be for every single one of them to say behind us? They're doing MAGA shit here. Oh, America. Yeah, America was at its best in the 50s. They probably don't think the 50s, but you know what I mean. Every one of them, man. Jesus. You talk with someone about politics at least once a day? All day for me now because of Insta. Every day, every day, every day. I keep up with it every day. If you had to use one or two words to describe the Democratic Party, what words would you pick? Spineless, complacent, paralyzed, afraid, incompetent, suffocated, sold out. Sellouts and suckers, immobilized. Can I say no balls, no cojones? It's crazy that in this environment, Ezra Klein insists that the Democratic Party does not have a messaging problem. These people are so fucking paid off. So what you're saying is the average voter in the Dem Party couldn't be further away from each other? Oh, 100%. Yeah, no. No, what? No. The gulf between the Democratic Party and the Dem voters is like is incredibly vast. At their core, both parties are fundamentally neoliberal. They're the large project that they're engaged in right now is not one of nation building or even really of racial purification on the right, but the transfer of wealth from one group of people to another much smaller group of people. The problem is that for a wide variety of reasons, the Republican Party has been successful in pulling the wool over the eyes of their constituents and making them focus on stuff like immigration or race or whatever, and the Democrats haven't. Like, the Democratic Party has not really like found a message for their people where they can be like, hey, we're winning the fight for you on this, while the wealth keeps flowing out. They've tried, they've certainly tried, but it has not landed. What, Ezra Klein obviously does agree the Dem Party is a messaging problem. No, he's said otherwise. I mean, he might say that there's like an issue in delivery, but he seems to think that there is like an ideological core to the Democratic Party and modern day liberalism that is real and that is well communicated. He's made that argument. Maybe he's contradicted it elsewhere. Ezra Klein's problem with Dem messaging is that they're too pro-trans. I mean, yeah, they have tried to sell us that message, In the lead up to Kamala Harris's defeat, they Democratic strategists, many of them, did make the argument that the problem with the Democratic Party was that we had gone too far left in a variety of social issues. And I mean, like, they will find literally any possible excuse for why things aren't working other than they fucking suck. So I mean, you can expect anything, right? You can expect anything. It's not interesting, really. What wasn't there some outlet that just did this? They just normalized this position, or they put out an article advocating for this? Can somebody do you know what I'm talking about? They put out an article where they were saying like the Democratic Party's gone too far left on trans issues. It was just a couple of days ago. Very, very novel take, I know, but it was the first time that outlet had done that. Maybe one of you will find it. We always know what you mean. God, I hope so. When you say you want to see Democrats stand up and fight, what does that look like? Just getting the messaging right. You hear the Republican side, they'll spew nonsense about everything. I'm not saying spew nonsense, but if they can't get a clear, cohesive message out there, and they don't all stand together on that message, so no one knows, hey, we're fighting for you for this. One of the big causes of this is the obsession with chasing the polls. Democrats love to do this. Republicans do not chase the polls, they make the polls. A total ban on abortion is unpopular. They don't care. They're going to push for it. Revoking trans rights, gay rights, whatever, it doesn't matter. Any social issue is unpopular. They don't care. They're going to do it. They decide what they focus on. Democrats constantly chase public opinion polling, famously Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton being anti-gay marriage up until it became like socially acceptable, just ticking over to 51% popularity, They never lead on an issue. They don't believe in anything. They just wait for it to be popular enough to say. So like they'll never advocate for anything really. They did the same thing with immigration. All throughout Trump's term, first term, they were like, all humans are humans, no criminals on stolen land, blah blah blah. Take them out of the camps. And then as soon as Obama became the president, not Obama, sorry, as soon as Biden became the president, they shifted over. And all of a sudden the language got a lot more hawkish on immigration, and public opinion on the threat of immigration shifted negatively. Case in point from yesterday. Well, yeah, this is the consequence of when you have two political parties and one of them is just anti-trans and the other one is anti-trans as soon as it's popular to be anti-trans. Like, yeah, of course, obviously there's going to be a shift there. It's not good. At least most people believe we should ban discrimination against trans people in hiring and housing. That's nice, at least. That tweet is from this. This is the tweet, or sorry, this is the article that I was thinking of. The argument, this liberal centrist rag. The trans rights backlash is real. The Dem Party is bouncing back. The trans right movement is not. That's not entirely true, by the way. I think that is a I think that's misrepresentative. But this article, yes, does contain a bunch of the opinion polling, including what we were just looking at, essentially making the argument that we overstepped, Yeah, even among Harris voters, only 35% support for puberty blockers and HRT access for minors. Did Crockett lie? Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about right now. The trans rights backlash is extremely real and very worrying for progressive. The public is aligned with conservatives on several issues like sports, restrooms, and minors' access to care. This is possibly the worst issue for progressives I've ever polled. Notice how the framing in the article, and this is the author of the article, notice how the framing here is not moralistic. It's not making the argument that this is bad because it's bad for trans people. This is bad because it's bad for the progressive movement. This is an optics failure, you see. Oh, this is a bad strategy. You're engaging in the wrong strategy. This is bad for your movement. No indication from the author's perspective as to what's actually morally right or wrong, which means that, of course, they're anti-trans. If you're morally neutral on a civil rights issue, you're anti the people in that civil rights issue. If you're morally neutral on slavery, you're pro-slavery. I don't care. I'm not fucking like day one of being woke class, okay? And the insistence on taking that position here, the implication obviously is, well, we need to drop this issue. But if you drop every issue the moment it ticks into unpopularity, you never supported it being with. I can't believe, like, it's actually insane to me that this is a mainstream position within the consultancy class in the Democratic Party, that it's both politically good and, like, optically beneficial in the long term to make it obvious that you have no real positions. Like, do you not think in the long run that makes your voters not trust you? If you say you're pro-immigration, but then you attempt to pass the most vehemently authoritarian anti-immigration bill in modern American history, or you say like, yeah, man, we're anti the abuses of ICE, but then you're like completely wavering on your position on ICE. Trans people? Oh, you know, yeah, no, we're super woke. We're super trans. How many genders are there, Jack? At least three. And then as soon as it ticks over, what, trans people? Nah, we were never Gavin Newsom bringing fucking Charlie Kirk on to agree with him. Do they not believe they can sway people? I think the truth is there's two halves to this. One is that many of the Dems are genuinely just bad at their job. The other half of it is that none of them actually believe in this progressive bullshit. They're just using it as a smokescreen so they can get away with stealing more of your money. And I don't mean like you donating through Act Blue. I mean the neoliberal project. Like, if they can keep distracting you with this shadow puppet battle that they're doing with the Republicans over whether or not trans people get to take a shit in the right restroom or whatever, they get to occupy 10 years of your time. You know what's happened in the past 10 years? I don't mean like the culture war. I mean in terms of income inequality. Like, trillions and trillions and tens of trillions of dollars, the combined GDP of the European Union flooding upwards, incomprehensible amounts of money. Do Democrats want to do anything about this? I don't know. Have you seen any Democrats talking about raising taxes or a wealth tax? I mean, there are a couple who talk about a wealth tax. Ro Khanna, AOC. Do you see them talking about taxing unrealized capital gains? Very, very few. Very, 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 very few. So, I don't know. It kind of seems to me like that for a lot of them, this is just window dressing, you know? It's the, what do you call it? The fake stuff, fondant you put on the cake. Ro Khanna's billionaire tax needs to pass. Oh, sorry, Gavin Newsom said he'd veto it. He said that preemptively. He said that preemptively. Before, like, just as soon as it came out, Ro Khanna was fighting on Twitter with a bunch of billionaire retards arguing, you know, back and forth, why it's bad to take away any of their billions. Gavin Newsom steps up, backstabs his own party man. Nope, we're not going to do it. Well, thank you, Gavin Newsom. You're not even running for governor again. Cumulative wealth and number of billionaires worldwide. Crazy. Look at that. Since 2016, $10 trillion up to the billionaire class. Not even including people who own hundreds of millions of dollars. Just the billionaires. Just with the B. It's only a couple thousand people. 6 months ago, the CEO and editor of this mag said they would never run anti-trans pieces. Oh, but it's not an anti-trans piece. Oh, no. No, no, no. It's merely imploring the progressives reconsider their optically bad position on the matter. Oh, it's only encouraging introspection. It's not anti-trans. And much to that point, here's the author. To be clear, I've never once advocated for Dems moving away from advocating for protection for trans people, but what protections you choose to fight for and how you fight for it is a really important topic when public opinion's heavily slanted. So yeah, there you go. I'm not anti these things. I'm merely asking you to reconsider your optically treacherous insistence on advocating for the things that I'm saying I'm not against. I don't think it's bad to do these things. I just think it's bad that you're doing them. She's fucking... these people. If you want to argue on sports, then that is a losing fight, end of story. And it's not just clear in our poll. It's visible in data from the New York Times and backed by other polls on the other LGBT topics. Any question of whether it's morally right or wrong, out of curiosity? Are we concerned about that at all? Only a person who did not think it was morally right or morally necessary would argue that the only issue of importance was whether it was popular. The popularity of a position does not determine whether or not it's right or wrong. How popular was abolition back in like 1789? Or take this quote from Sarah McBride talking to Ezra Klein. Phenomenal. I'm not capitulating to the conservatives. Here's Sarah McBride talking to Ezra Klein. You decide. But it's not anti-trans to do a poll. It's not anti-trans to point out the movement's lost a lot of ground over the last 10 years. And it's not anti-trans to say the strategies chosen haven't worked in the face of Republican attacks. But you're not advocating for a change in strategy. You're advocating for them, for Democrats to stop advocating for a given civil rights issue. That's not the same as a strategy. You're not offering a different strategy on how to advocate for trans rights. You're saying that you should abandon these positions. The dishonesty and smugness. I really do hate these Substack fucks. I really do despise them. This is like the entire, this is the like lib shit intellectual apparatus, you know? Everyone wants to be Ezra Klein because everyone's noticed that constantly licking the assholes of people in power has gotten him a lot of attention, you know? Oh, what a big Substack income. Oh, look at how much he costs to book for a speech, you know? What does he do? What does he say? Not much. He gets made fun of every time he takes a stand on anything or offers a position. I can't believe that with no prompting, he came out and just abruptly said there was no Epstein conspiracy. Why? I'm sure he was paid to say it. But he's like the biggest liberal guy. He's the, like, he's quite possibly the most prominent person in their camp. And he's a fucking idiot. He said what? For no reason. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not saying that to like puff it up or whatever. Genuinely, with like no prompting, no reason, right towards the beginning of the big push for the Epstein files, he put out this dramatic statement where he was like, Epstein fucked kids. And also Epstein had a lot of powerful friends. But I believe those two halves of his life were very separate. Essentially arguing he didn't do sex trafficking, which we know that he did. And that there was no big criminal conspiracy where he did evil shit with a bunch of other powerful people, which, again, we know he did. Why did he say that? I don't know. How many affiliates of Epstein personally paid Ezra Klein over the course of his career? Probably quite a few. Is he mentioned the files at all? Nah, Ezra Klein's barely older than I am. He's not mentioned the files. I guarantee you a lot of the people who like him are, though. He's personally friends with Larry Summers? Well, there you go.
I think I should say, before I start this episode, where I am on the Epstein story. If you force me to give you my best guess, given what we...
Look at this dramatic delivery, too.
You know, I think this guy had a lot of very powerful friends. I think this guy was a predator and a pedophile on an extraordinary scale. And I think those sides of his life were mostly separate. I don't think there is a list of boldface names somewhere.
Where is he? This is a New York Times opinion video, which means that he booked this. Like, he made the effort to coordinate with the New York Times to put out a video opinion piece for the purpose of saying, hey, guys, there's no Epstein conspiracy. Like, again, if you, like, this is, this, when, like, people like this are standing on the shoulders of giants, and this is the giant. Like, I'm just, like, this is, this, like, libshit intellectual industrial complex is rotten to the core all the way down. That's why they're Epstein apologists and defenders, which is exactly what this is, by the way. That's why they're the spineless weasels. I'm not anti-trans. I'm just suggesting you adopt a different strategy. The strategy being to not be pro-trans. Like it's psychotic, you know, psychotic. Condé Nast take on Epstein, but what is a pedophile really? True. True. Only a matter of time before Ezra Klein comes out with his hot amphibophilia takes. Also, what strategies were Dems ever using to be pro-trans? The Democratic Party was never, like, aggressively pro-trans. For the most part, they were just, like, capitulating to loud activists who were pro-trans, which is not the same thing. Giving space to loud, socially prominent people to be pro-trans is, and, like, coasting off of that adjacency is not the same as your leaders being actively pro-trans themselves. It was a matter of convenience. Are there any positions or attributes where you think this is a deal breaker for me when I'm looking at different Democratic candidates? Oh, every issue is important. Economics are important. But to me, civil rights, LGBTQ rights, all those things are really important to me. Aside from social issues, which I assume, if we elect a Dem, then the social issues would be okay. Tax the wealthy, the billionaires. How do we fund these programs? Taxing them? I would say support of ICE. Immigration reform, healthcare, providing Medicaid. And then here's the progressive versus moderate candidate, where all of them wanted progressive, a progressive candidate. 50-50, more or less, split on whether they want a candidate with experience or a candidate who's new to politics. The only one who wants an older candidate is Mike Ehrmantraut, Terrell Ehrmantraut. You're not going to vote for Zoran Mamdani. He's too young. What you're going to do is you're going to find the oldest person in New York City, and you're going to write him in. You're going to write him in as a write-in candidate. Everyone else wants the younger candidate, which, okay, you know, old person solidarity. Man, okay, New York Times, you got to get these to pop up a little faster, otherwise you scroll right past them. Do you prefer the middle-class candidate, or does it not matter? Everyone wants the middle-class candidate. Keep in mind, like, the average Democratic congressperson, not just Democrat, right, Republican too, but the average congressperson is quite wealthy. So, you know. Do you think the experience concern holds any water? And I don't mean as a synonym for establishment. The problem is that, like, experience so often correlates with anti-competence, where the more time a person has spent in government, the more likely they are to be co-opted by the machine and to be incompetent because it allows them to get away with not doing anything. So it's really difficult for me mentally to separate, like, real competence. Like, Zoran Mamdani is not particularly experienced, but he is very competent, clearly. I mean, you know, at least in the politics side of things. We'll see. He seems to be doing pretty well with, like, the actual mayorship, at least so far. I don't know. Can anyone, like, and I'm being serious, can somebody think of me, think for me, a candidate who was very experienced but also not completely bought out by the machine? Like, somebody who used it to be competent? Because I'm having trouble. Like, it kind of, the closest thing that I can think of is Bernie. I don't really think of Bernie. Well, he's experienced in the sense that he's been there for a while, but that's not really what I think of. We don't like Bernie for his experience. We like Bernie because he's Bernie. Lina Khan? Lina Khan would be a good example. Lina Khan would be a good example, yeah. PM of Canada, to an extent as well. He's definitely using his experience in banking to do a lot of, like, monetary policy shit. Yeah, Mark Carney, thank you. Mark's Carney. That like an average person might not be able to. I'm not sure. I think Pelosi also fills that criteria. Buddy, I said not bought out by the machine, okay? I know Pelosi's more competent than Hakeem Jeffries, but let's not let our standards fall quite that low. If you could give Dems some advice, either about running for office or being in office right now, what would you tell them? Think long term, stand up, don't back down, don't be scared. Going high when they go low doesn't work anymore. Stand firm with conviction, just like how Jasmine Crockett's demonstrating. No! Pick a message, then have everyone stick to that message. Be bold. Listen to the people when it comes to healthcare and Social Security. Listen to the people. Dig in and fight dirty. Don't go on a tangent over here when the message that you want is in the completely other direction. Run candidates that make your wealthy donors nervous. Use your voice, use your power. No one's happy, man. No one's happy. Anyway, yeah, the point to all of this being the idea that the Democratic Party is dropping the ball tremendously is not like a lefty, it's not like an out there lefty opinion. It's a pretty mainstream opinion. I mean, we have polling to support that, not just this particular article, but it is worth engaging with that. I'm a sports fan who understands trans females should not play with birth females, but also I don't give a fuck either. Okay, so this isn't really the point of what we're talking about, but it's tangential, but I do want to address it. To be clear, like, there have been studies, extensive studies, medical studies, with athletic medical scientists, that after 2 years of hormones, the athletic advantages conferred upon a trans woman over a cis woman in sports are essentially non-existent, you know? The crazy thing is that we gave up on this argument completely, but we're right. We've always been right. For one, it's marginal. And I'm going to be real. Like, for the most part, I don't give a shit because there's like 20 trans athletes in total. There's not that many. It's very usual, especially because everyone talks about trans women, right? So say, like, usually most trans women are worried more about, like, I don't know, dressing or makeup or whatever. They're busy with other shit. They don't want to be out there fucking suplexing people. And, you know, I get that. More power to them if they want to. But it's just not that common, you know? But even then, I refuse to give up on a position that is correct just because everyone whines about the optics. Should it be front and center? Nah, probably not. Like the transport stuff? Nah. Republicans want it to be because intuitively it feels wrong to a lot of people, you know, but I'm not going to give up on it just because it's, you know, it just feels, this is such a losing issue. Why does anyone even bother addressing it? Because it's correct. What does it say about all of your positions that your willingness to say the true thing is contingent upon the perceived popularity of that true statement? You know? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, you have to be, you really can't concede, you cannot, like, preemptively concede here. Again, I don't think you should make it front and center because it's pretty marginal, but you really don't want to completely drop the ball on it. It's correct, but our rhetoric needs to evolve to be more persuasive. There's no rhetoric on it right now. Nobody's defending trans people in sports. No one talks about it. Seriously, like, look around. I'm Ozymandias, king of kings. Look upon my advocacy for trans women and cis women in sports in despair. You know? What do you see? A fucking open desert. Like, there's nothing. There's no one talks about it anymore. The issue's been completely abandoned. Pick your fights? Sure, but don't be wrong on the fights you're not taking, I guess is my point, you know? Like, that. When was the last time you saw me getting a big fuss about this, right? I'm not out here, you know, I'm not wearing the trans sports hat or anything. I'm just saying if it gets brought up, I'm just going to acknowledge that it's true. Also, it's always going to be marginal. You know, now the mainstream position for a lot of Republicans is that they're calling women who aren't even trans men. Like that one boxer lady. Or there have been a couple of cases of female sprinters that have, like, really high T levels because testosterone is the chemical that makes you goated with the sauce. But they're cis women, you know. Algerian boxer, Main Khalif. Yeah. So, like, listen, okay? The attack against trans women participating in women's sports is and always will be a front to attack women's rights broadly. Much in the same way that being anti-trans women in women's bathrooms then leads to, like, butch lesbians getting attacked and, like, women getting policed over their appearance because maybe a chick's just a bit clocky, you know? She's got a pussy. She's just a bit clocky. What are you going to do? Sometimes people are clocky. I'm a bit clocky. What do you want? And then they get beat up, you know? Like, it never ends there. You can never allow bigotry on any front, no matter how marginal, because it's always a wedge to allow for the broadening of that bigotry, you know? Unified front. I'm still not willing to concede on the point that sports being fair is mostly an illusion. I don't know what you're on about. All I'm saying is that medical scientists have determined that past a certain point, trans women are really just, like, not carrying any advantages, you know? There's very, very marginal differences, certainly smaller than the range of potential athletic ability that you see within cis women, you know? But of course sports isn't fair. Sometimes people are just goated. It's not all a skill issue. Anyway, we don't need to argue about this, okay? There's a really good video about how even sex is a spectrum because of extreme differences in genetic spectrum. Oh, buddy, the fact that sex, like biological sex, is a spectrum is, again, just that. It's a fact. Like medical science, American science, big people with lab coats and big glasses, you know? Life is never as simple as you think. But if you give up on these issues because people are, intuitively inclined to the wrong answer, then what are you going to do? Then give up on everything, you know? People have been intuitively inclined to the belief that people of different skin colors are fundamentally different for, like, millions of years or whatever. Like, the tribalism directs us towards lots of shitty positions intuitively. It's your responsibility to determine what's right and then advocate for it, you know? You can't, like, give up ground every time because people are, by and large, retarded. That's ridiculous. What are you doing there? They can have small glasses, too? Yeah, maybe.